The reason why I wanted to do that song is because I realized one thing, that some people were made to preach, some people is going to teach, and everybody not going to do that. Some people are going to exalt, some people is going to exhort, but we all were made to worship.
Amen.
See, it's a difference from a person getting up here preaching, you got to prepare, you got to, and this may be not for everybody, but worship is for everybody.
Amen.
See, a lot of times we get caught up in ourselves and we sit there and we say, sister such and such, she act like she can't sit down and she running around here, but you ain't going to catch no fish washing her line. You see what I'm saying? Because a person is going to get there. See, you got to know what you came here for.
Amen.
It's an old song that say, I don't know what you came to do, but I came to clap my hands. I came to stomp my feet. Some people might want to just sit there. I don't know. But anytime I get up there, I'm going to get my praise on.
Amen.
And then some people going to sit there. If they playing, they playing. If they not, they not. It ain't got nothing to do with me, but I know what I came for. See, a lot of times we got to understand and know what we came for. Because we under attack every single day, and that's going to bring me to this word. Every single day that we open our eyes, we are under attack. And we may not even see it, but it's a spiritual attack that's going on. Yeah, I know we got a program, so I'm going to be short. I'm not just saying that because most preachers say I'm going to be short, and then they say amen, and they fuel them to keep on going. I'm going to be short for real this time. Yeah, I'm going to be short for real. But I'm going to read this out of the book of Job. Coming out of the book of Job, the first chapter, verse number 6. When you get there, say amen. When you, you know, yes, ma'am. Job, chapter 1, starting at verse 6. Yeah, we going to hit it. Yeah, we going to get out the way. Yeah, we going now. We're going now.
I appreciate you.
Oh, you're welcome, sir. We're going now. Everybody there?
Amen.
Amen. All right, we're going to read. It says, now there was a day, keep that in mind, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came amongst them.
Yeah.
And the Lord said to Satan, from where do you come? So Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro on the earth and from walking back and forth on it. Then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job?
Yeah.
The Lord told Satan, have you considered my servant Job?
Uh-huh.
That there is none like him on earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil. So Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him, around his household, and around all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and the possessions have increased in the land. But now, stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. Yeah, we may be seated.
Amen.
Real fast, I want to talk about the cost of consideration. Yeah, the cost of consideration. You know, in this particular passage, we have an unscripted view of what was going on in the throne room of God. An unscripted view of what was going on. God was sitting there, the angels was presenting themselves before God, in the throne of God. Satan walked into the throne room and presented himself too. He presented himself too. And God asked Satan a question. He said, have you considered my servant Job? Have you considered my servant? Have you thought about Job? Now God, he have a way of dealing with us. He have a way of dealing with us. A lot of times things is going our way. A lot of times things is not. It's not. And I was sitting there looking at him. I thought it was my son at first. And I say, how in the world is this boy getting home? And I seen you, but the other day, I was in the garden. My wife told me, she say, and I didn't even know why, and it came to me when I was looking at him. And I was in there, she say, the HOA sent a letter. I say, for what? She say, the flowers is dead. I say, the flowers dead, pick them out. She sat there and looked at me. So I say, well, she's sitting there, I just do it. So I began to pick out the flowers, got plucked, but I was looking at the fact that the flower bed was full. Yeah, we had all kind of nice stuff in there. Elephant ears, anybody been there that seen it? Elephant ears, different plants, ivories, and all kind of stuff was in there. And when I began to pull them out, I'm like, this is a weed, this is a weed. The flower bed was full. But when the season changed, the only thing was left was the rose bushes. Because the season changed, the thorns had to move because it was a different season. God say, in your life, it's a different season that's finna come. See, the flower bed, the people that surround you, it's a lot of them. It's a lot of people that could have been, you could have been anywhere else. But God got you here today for this reason. I don't care nothing about flowers. I'm just saying if they did, pluck them out. But my wife, she say, do it. I did it, but God spoke. I didn't even know why. Yeah, I didn't even know why. But the flower bed was full. Once the season changed, I began to see that I'm picking up more thorns and bristles and weeds than I am flowers. So once I got through, I stacked all the weeds over there. I looked up, and I just seen it was the rose bushes. Everything was ripe, but it was ripe for that season. You see what I'm saying? Everything that was ripe for that. See, it's a season for everything. See, being considerate, I'm going to bring it back to consideration, but God told me, he put that on my heart for you. Whatever you surrounded with, whatever you surrounded by, there's a season, but God preserving you for a reason. He's preserving you for a reason. And I can sit here and tell you that I don't know why, but no, I do know why, because God ain't going to not complete his word. You see what I'm saying? When he give you a word, he's going to complete it. Yeah, God is preserving you for himself. See, it's some things that you're going to go through. See, right now, the devil went up there and began to talk to God. He said, have you considered my servant Job? Have you considered? See, you being considered in this season. You see what I'm saying? When you being considered, it's a lot that comes with being considered. Because you on God's mind. And when you on God's mind, yeah, the devil don't like that. See, it's some things that we go through in life when we being considered and we don't even know that it's going to come to an expected end, as the Bible said. But what is that end? See, God knows the beginning from the end. You have a glimpse into the spiritual world. You have a glimpse into it. When it talks about the race, see, it's a song, I've been running for Jesus a long time, I'm not tired. You get tired. That's a song. That's not in the Bible. Yeah, it's a difference. It's a difference. It talks about the race. It talks about the race not being given to the swift. You don't even have to be fast. You see, so there's no excuse. You don't even have to be able to be the best athlete, because guess what? The game is rigged. Yeah, but the game is rigged in your favor. You see what I'm saying? No matter what the situation may be, our goal is to cross the finish line. See, the race is not given to the swift, but those who endure to the end. So you mean to tell me if I can barely make it, if I'm limping, I don't have to run fast. See, I have to pace myself. This is a race of patience, because the Bible say let patience have its perfect work. So there's something going to be perfected in your patience when you run in this race. But the first thing we have to understand is, what does it take to be considered? See, look, God gave the devil Job's resume. Yeah. Look, he ran down the resume. He said that he's righteous and all the way. Then the devil turned around and ran that resume back. Yeah, he ran that resume back. He said, well, it's only because you're doing this that he's doing this.
Amen.
It's only, see, things, I'm going to tell you one time. I was out. Y'all know I'm going to tell it on myself. You know I ain't ashamed of where I come from. But I was out. I was loaded. Ooh, I was loaded. I don't even know how I was driving. I was loaded. It was this guy used to come to prison named Quan, and he used to come with Mother Knight, and he used to speak to us. And Quan would get up on the pulpit, and he'd say, God bless me with a big old house. I got Dayton's on my car and Swangers too. And I'm looking like, I don't think God really care about that. You know? But, I mean, sometimes they let anything and anybody get up there. I don't know. But God got a plan for him too. But anyway, that particular night, you know, Quan used to come and preach and stuff. I run into Quan. I'm high as a mule kick. And I see Quan. He looked at me. We knew who each other was. But the sadness in his eyes, because he was high too. But when he looked at me and I looked at him, it was like we let each other down.
Yeah.
It was like we let each other down. You see what I'm saying? I don't know what God got for us, but God took me from that. See, nobody was there when I was in the room that night and I had the gun. I had it. And I put it to my head. I just couldn't do it. You see what I'm saying? I couldn't do it. And when, like Paul said, he was the lowest of the low. I was the lowest of the low. You see what I'm saying? I was the lowest of the low. I had went to church. I did what I was supposed to do. But God say, have you considered my servant?
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? In the Bible, and he talks about it. And when Job going through there, he say, though he slay me, though he slay me. So there's some things that's going to go on in our life, though he slay me, because the cost of consideration. And sometimes we have to be slayed. See, people, I learned over the years, people not lazy. You know, you got people in church that just don't want to do this, and they like, hey, call such and such, see if they do. People not lazy, they're just comfortable. You see what I'm saying? It's a difference from being lazy and comfortable. See, Job, he was in a comfortable position, I'm sure, because it talks about him being from the east. If you go further up, he's from the east. He was the richest man in the east. He was the richest man in the east. But Job was working. Though he was rich, he had money. He say, I'm going to go every day and make supplication for my kids just in case my kids hadn't sinned against God, or just in case they did anything I'm going to make. So Job put in the work through his comfort. But once he got considered, see, God will shake it up. He'll shake up your life and put you in a position, because the devil need permission. See, he'll put you in a position to where all you got is him. See, it was a test. God allowed him to test. God knew what he was going to do. That's why he was considered. See, a lot of us is so comfortable because we haven't been considered. See, it's a resume to being considered. When you consider, that means you're doing what you're supposed to do. You're walking the way God wants you to walk, and then God consider, then everything, well, God, I did what you asked me to do. I go to church, I tithe, I do this. And then Job say, though he slay me. You see what I'm saying? We'll get to running God our resume.
Yeah.
When things don't go our way, we start telling God our resume.
Yep.
Yeah, God, I did this, I did that, in your name. And God say, depart from me.
Lord, have mercy.
Yeah, he say, depart from me.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Job, and once, as Job was sitting there talking, and he was doing some eating and doing everything, everything started happening at one time.
Yep.
Have you ever been in your life, you get one phone call? I remember it was just last year, one person died, my mom, my pops, my brother. And I was like, Lord, what are you trying to tell me? And then my uncle, he said, well, you know, they all died about the same time that Grandpa died, and he just be coming back together. I say, well, you tell Grandpa next year, leave me alone.
You
know, like, yeah, I say, you tell Grandpa next year, leave me alone. You know, you got who you wanted, going about your business. But it was a trying time in my life. Yeah, I was going through it, and people begin, and my wife, she'll be looking at me. I wake up. She looking at me blinking, and I'm like, what's wrong with you? She just blinking. Well, you know, when you're going through something, I got to watch. I say, I respect that, but you scare me. You know what I mean? I wake up, and you looking at me blinking. You know what I mean? But it was people that would come to you, that was coming to me. They was like, man, I'm so sorry. And it's good condolences, and I appreciate every prayer and everything when we was going through that time. But in this case, when you go to the Bible, Job was being comforted by his friends. And when his friends came, they began to tell him stuff that was contrary to what Job believed about God.
That's right.
So you can't allow, when you are considered, you can't allow the surrounding people, people that surround you, to depict the way you believe in God. Because God, he say, the just shall live by faith. Job was devout and he was just, but faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So faith allow me to believe when everything around me is falling apart. And that's why when Job was saying, though he slay me, see, Job knew. Job wasn't worried about the stuff. See, God will give you stuff. Yeah, everybody got stuff. I mean, half of us look in our closet, we got stuff that another person is praying for, and we don't even want it. You know what I mean? So when you think of you having a bad day, a truly bad day, yeah, consider Job. Consider what he had a very bad day. He had a very bad day. And then what it is now there was a day. All of us is going to have a day.
That's
right. See, I preached about midnight a long time ago, but this happened in the daytime. Yeah, you know, people sneak at night. You can do whatever and get away with it. This happened. It say there was a day. This happened in the daytime. Yeah, Satan went up there because he knew what Job was. See, God restored everything that Job lost and more. But Job wasn't worried about the stuff. You know, Job, he was able to stand fast. Job looked up and his wife was sitting there. And his wife say, woman, I mean, he say, won't you just curse God and die? Yeah, just get it over with. His wife was the closest thing to him.
Amen.
Because in the Bible it say, flesh of my flesh, bone of my bone. So the wife is the closest thing to a man once he leave his mother and his father and he cleave to his wife. That's one flesh with you. So you mean to tell me that God and did all this stuff and you tell me the closest thing to me, you, because the devil knew. He say, look, he say, touch everything he got, but don't touch his body. The devil touched that wife. See, we don't even look at that. The devil was able to infiltrate that wife. You see what I'm saying? The closest thing to him. She seen what God did for him. She was there for the ride. You see what I'm saying? And then God say, touch everything except for his body. You see what I'm saying? He was able, the devil know the Bible. You see what I'm saying? Touch everything except for his body. Flesh of my flesh, it's deeper. Y'all ready? Yeah, it's deeper. We have to do that another time because it's deeper. But flesh of my flesh, bone of my bone. Don't touch his body. But then the Bible say, two flesh, they become one. He didn't touch his body, but he touched his body.
Yeah.
Y'all go,
come on.
Yeah. Yeah, because... Yeah, he say don't touch his body. That's some deep stuff. Yeah, that's some deep stuff. But when he was considered, see, the woman was cool till he was considered. See, that's why I say the cost of consideration. See, God called Job by name.
Yeah,
God called Job by name. When God called Job by name, it was some adverse things that start happening because it was in God's plan. That's just like when Lazarus was in the tomb. Lazarus was in the tomb. Jesus said, Lazarus, come out. Now, if you think about it, if you study the tombs was elaborate back then. The tombs was elaborate. They had a lot of broken doors and holes and stuff, so they was never on the ground. They was always put up. And when Jesus said, Lazarus, come out, Lazarus, he had some obstacles. In order to come out, he couldn't just come out the tomb. And he was wrapped up. Yeah, he was wrapped up. So when he come up out the tomb, before he even made it out the tomb, he had some things that he had to navigate, though he was dead.
Yeah.
It was some things that Lazarus had to navigate. So once Lazarus came out and they got him, the first thing Jesus told the disciples, they say, loose him.
Loose him.
That means take off them grave clothes.
Yeah.
Yeah, he say, loose him. So the thing is, God got something for us to do when we are considered. But once we can't strip them grave clothes and listen to the boy. That's the thing. Another thing about that particular passage is that anybody could have called Lazarus. That don't mean he was coming.
Amen.
Yeah, that don't mean he was coming. See, the Spirit of God was moving.
Yeah,
the Spirit of God moved. So you have to be able to answer. Like the devil, he say, you blessing them because everything you touch, he touched, you giving them this, that, and that. So God allowed the Satan to move. Uh-huh. Yeah, we don't want to admit that. Satan moved in Job's life. Yeah, Satan did some stuff. We don't want to talk about that part of the Bible because God is love. God is kind. He's all of that. He's everything. He omnipotent. But when he say move, it's going to be some moving.
Yeah.
It's going to be some moving and shaking. It's going to change your life. But we have to be able to hear the voice of God.
Yeah.
Come on, say that.
That's why when I was in that garden, I didn't even know what I was there for. But I'm telling you. See, I can't say some preacher, and he didn't tell me. No, God told me everything.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, about you.
Yes, he did.
Yeah, about you. You know them people.
Yeah.
You know the people.
Yes.
Yeah, them people. Them weeds. Yeah, you could have been anywhere else.
Yeah.
But God said you still in season.
Yeah.
Yeah, you still in season. Yeah. Because I'm the last person that's a gardener. I don't even care about the HOA. I'd have gave him the $25 or paid somebody to do it. But in order for us to get to this point, I had to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had to do it. It had to be me. That's why I watched you. That's why you got my attention when I came through the door. But God don't give you a word and don't complete it.
Yeah,
he's not going to give me a half a word concerning you. Yeah, he's going to give you the entire thing. And that's what God wants you to know. The people that's around you, the people that you're surrounded by, the people that you have in your life is like weeds. But it's a season. See, you wasn't always where you are. You wasn't always where you are. But, you know, King Nebuchadnezzar, he lost his mind.
Yes, he did.
He lost his mind in the midst of gaining everything back, but he had to go through the wilderness, through the jungle, and he took the long way. I took the long way. You're a young man. You don't have to, because God got a plan for you. You see what I'm saying? God got a plan for you. Never allow your circumstance or your situations to count you out, because you matter just like everybody sitting in this room. See, God didn't just deliver the word to the just. He didn't just preach to the Jews. The words went out to the Gentiles, to the people that society said didn't deserve to hear the word.
Yeah,
to the people that the rabbis and the priests and the Sadducees, they couldn't even walk into the chapel because they wasn't good enough per classification in that time. So God got a plan for all. He preached to us. If you go to Revelations, you in here, and church folks, some people think that church folks is... they go to church and they say this and they say that and get into the church. I can show you in the Bible, in the book of Revelations, God say to the churches, he say, I got this against you.
Yeah.
He say, you neither hot nor cold. He didn't say nothing about to the people that's hanging at the gas station. I got this against you. God wasn't even concerned about that. Yeah. God is checking the churches. You see what I'm saying? It's the churches. Yeah. Isolating people. People got a thing where they say church hurt. And they do the same thing at the club that they do at the church. The church make you mad. People at the club make you mad. You still go to the club. Come to church. Yeah, come to church. Yeah, there's no thing called church hurt. All that kind of stuff is for the birds. But God got something for everybody. And when you consider by God, it means something because God is able to restore you. The things that Job acquired over the years, and he was the richest man in the East, that wasn't nothing to God.
Amen.
Yeah, that wasn't nothing to God. The little things that we think we got that don't even matter when you're dead, it's going to be gone. And, you know, it don't even matter. But you want to do what you're supposed to do to acquire what you want to acquire. You be mature about it. God will give you wisdom how to manage money, how to be able to be a father or be available as a husband or whatever it is that God set your mind to. But one thing I know is we were created to worship. Start with worship. You see what I'm saying? Yeah, start with worship because worship is going to enable you to get closer to God. When you think about this, and I'm going to sit down. When you think about this, Jesus on the cross, we seen the passion of Christ. The passion of Christ, it was so tame compared to what really happened.
Amen.
It was real tame because when Jesus died on the cross, he died for our sins. He never even said, there's a song that say, never said a mumbling word. He never said, yeah, he didn't. But it was a time that he did, because it got dark for 3 hours.
Yeah.
And the reason why it got dark for 3 hours, because God had turned his back.
Yeah.
On his son.
On his son, so that he could look at us. That's the only time Jesus hollered. He said he cried out with a loud voice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because he had been so in tune with God, and he is God. And Jesus had been walking with God, doing everything with God for all these years. It was year 33. 33 years. You develop a pattern of being close to somebody. It's like husband and wife.
Right.
Yeah. Jesus has been walking with God this whole entire time. Uh-huh. He walking with God this whole entire time. And then that one time, I mean, they tormented Jesus. He had to breathe in a certain type of way because it's a rugged cross, meaning it was sharp. The wood, it wasn't smooth wood like we see on the walls of the church. It wasn't like that. You see what I'm saying? The Romans had a way of torturing. If you look at the historical facts, they was torturing everybody. That's why they became the superpower, because after the Philistines, that was way down the line. The Romans came into power then. Once the Romans came into power, they beat you up bad.
Yeah.
And then they have to persecute you butt naked. They made public shows of persecution. So when they took Jesus, his guts and stuff was hanging out. They pulled his beard to where, and then they say in the Bible, and Isaiah, they didn't know if he was a man or a woman, because he was persecuted naked. But they didn't know if he was a man or a woman. And they did him that bad. They did him that bad. I mean, what you think in your mind and what really happened is like night and day. You can't even conceive the pain that he went through for us. And he didn't even say nothing. He didn't say nothing. He didn't even say nothing. And in order to breathe with your hands tied up, you're already right here. In order to breathe, you know your lungs expand and retract. Expand when you're breathing. So imagine trying to breathe on the cross where you're hanging with nails and you have to raise yourself up in order to breathe.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? You have to raise yourself up in order to breathe. He couldn't even breathe. And he didn't say nothing.
Yeah.
Not one time. He didn't say nothing until God turned his face and began to look at us. He began to look at us, and then it got real dark. And then it got real dark because God had removed himself from that equation concerning Jesus. That way, he can see us. Yeah, he can see us. He could have got off, but had he got off, would we be here?
Amen.
We wouldn't even be here. Yeah, so when I talk about the cost of consideration, see, God considered Jesus. And it cost them. Yeah, you got people in other countries getting shot up and killed behind this Bible, the words that's inside of it. But it's more than just a word. It's a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle to where you don't need to get comfortable. Don't get too comfortable. Because it say, now there was a day. And for each and every one of us, it's going to be a day.
Amen.
Yeah. When they present themselves, and God is going to say, have you considered my servant? Y'all be blessed.
Thank you for listening to a recent sermon from Pilgrim Branch Missionary Baptist Church. We pray that you have been blessed by the preaching of God's word. Pilgrim Branch Missionary Baptist Church is located at 16813 Huffsmith Porville Road, Houston, Texas, 77070. Our Sunday worship services are held at 8 o'clock a.m. and 11 o'clock a.m., with Wednesday night Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m. Please come out and join us for worship, study, and fellowship, where our motto is, we are the branch, but he is the vine.